One, two, three.
Four, five, six.
I'm Georgie Crawford.
And I'm Claire Solan. And you're listening to Soul Sisters Podcast, which is all about life lessons and laughter.
The Soul Sisters Podcast is a Good Glow production brought to you this season by Malfi Gin, your ticket to the Amalfi Coast.
Malfi Gin comes in three tasty flavours: a burst of Italian blood orange with con arancia, a zesty lemon gin with con limon, or a delicate grapefruit gin, Rosa.
Experience La Dolce Vita with Malfi Gin. Always drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for more. You sent me, Claire, a little message today about what we were going to talk about. And I know that we always start with, how is your week? But I need to know this first. You said, got starstruck today.
I did.
So you need to tell us, who did you meet today?
Let's go straight to the A-lister. So I rushed, usually you and I would record our podcast on a Monday morning. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't able to facilitate you today because I was recording another podcast, which is the podcast I work on Monday to Friday. It's called Dish, and Nick Grimshaw presents it with Angela Hartnett. Those of you who like food will know Angela. She's a Michelin star chef. So it's a great podcast and we haven't gathered for a long time. So I was a bit stressed today because me pal Tom, who usually runs the sessions, records with me, wasn't there. And there was a very high profile guest coming in.
Who was it?
Stanley Tucci.
Ooh.
Stanley Tucci. I mean, he of Devil Wears Prada, as if you didn't know, and more recently, the program everyone was talking about, Searching for Italy.
I've never even heard of it, Claire.
What?
Searching for Italy?
Yeah. You've never seen it.
Is it on the BBC?
It was on the BBC, yeah. And I think it's going to Netflix. And I think it was on, was it on CNN or something in the States as well? Okay. So maybe that was a UK thing, reference. But you all know Stanley Tucci. So as expected, he walked in and Nick was a little bit nervous as well. So when I see that he's nervous and he had, like, Nick Grimshaw can count Katy Perry and Rita Ora as friends of his. So when I see him a little bit anxious, I'm like, well, I'm a muggle. Of course I'm going to be anxious. In walks Stanley Tucci, impeccably dressed, with a pair of brown leather boots and orange socks, a pair of jeans and a navy velvet jacket. Flawless. And he is one of those celebrities, as my colleague Sam said, he is one of those celebrities who introduces himself to you as if we don't know who you are. He was like, hi, hello, I'm Stanley. I'm like, yeah, I know.
So first of all, did he have an entourage, and did he have certain snacks or like beverages that you had to have ready for him?
Nothing in the rider. He had one person with him who was his assistant. He came straight in and sat down because on Dish, Angela cooks our guests a meal. So they come in hungry. And so we were cooking him his favorite meal, which was spaghetti with clams.
Oh, very posh.
He's of Italian descent. Angela has Italian restaurants. It was like Italy in there. Mamma mia. It was amazing.
So you spent the day with Stanley, Nick, the whole gang, and I spent the day with my washing basket. Is everyone in the UK talking about Holly and Phil? Come on, tell us.
It's been 24 days since I've been on the Daily Mail, but who needs it? Daily Mail's coming to me. Everybody is talking about Holly and Phil, yeah. They have been lying in wait to get those two, the British press, for ever. And they seized an opportunity and went, boom, Phil and Holly at once.
And don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Exactly.
because they were brought to a separate part of the room. So they actually didn't skip the queue. They were in a different area.
Shabba.
Is this the turning point? Like, do they come back from this? Or is this just the start of, you know, the way, like, I feel like people build up celebrities to a certain point, and then from there on, they just tear them down. Like Cheryl Cole. Remember that?
Ugh. They're icons of British broadcasting. Like there's no story here. And it's just, it's kind of sad, actually. It's the reason I left the Daily Mail.
And when I edit this podcast and you say that, sometimes it sounds like you worked for the Daily Mail. But when you say you left the Daily Mail, you just mean you don't read it anymore.
I just mean I don't go straight there after my hour of meditation in the morning and destroy every good bit of energy that I have mustard. Yeah, I don't read it anymore. I want to hear about the retreat.
We are back from our retreat. It was, so many people have been asking me about it and I'm like, I can't explain it. Wow. Because it was just a magical experience for those of us who were there in the room. And there were so many laughs, but so many tears, but like happy tears. So many incredible conversations. People were saying, you know, I haven't had a conversation with someone I don't know like this for years. Mm. It was pure joy. I actually today, like, I can't stop thinking about everyone. And last night sitting on the couch, I said to Jamie, like, I miss it. I miss the company. I miss the all of us, you know, living together, and who are you going to stumble across next, or who are you going to sit beside and have a chat with? And it was just out of this world. I text my brother Mick, who works with us today, in our WhatsApp group about the retreat. And Jamie was like, how's everyone this morning? You know, to me, Mick, Becca. And Mick says, I think we allowed them space to share their stories and challenge their beliefs that don't serve them anymore, which is exactly what it was. So, you know, we took them on a journey from Friday to Sunday, and we finished by writing our next chapter. So it was, I won't say any more, but it was just out of this world. I loved it.
What did you get from it? Like, from being at a retreat, what's that like? What was the overriding emotion you walked away with?
So I was there for every workshop, you know, every part of it. And so what was important for me was I wasn't standing up preaching to people. We were simply sharing and helping each other figure it out. It was what I got from it. I felt held by all of our guests. I felt supported. And it gave me so much confidence and love for what I do. So I was at a retreat in Wicklow, and you were in your nude also in Wicklow, but I didn't come across you.
I wasn't, and you would have really enjoyed it if you did, because I was experiencing the same feelings as you were experiencing in the same. That's amazing. Look at that synchronization, George. Mm. Like the confidence. Why I asked you how you felt at coming away from the retreat is I can feel the confidence off you. Like, not even you as the, you know, the curator of a retreat, but just you as a person, like being held by people with similar values and similar desires to you. And that is what happened to me. My friend and I, Laura, went to Mahery Moor Beach. We'd been there 4 years ago for Strip and Dip. And we went back this year and we said to each other, and Laura was so cool. She was like, Claire, I want to be 80 coming down here and taking my clothes off and jumping in the sea. It was, I'd say there was, I don't know officially how many women were down there, but it felt like about 1,000. The feeling of being surrounded by divine feminine energy with no clothes on is like, it's indescribable. Like, it was pure joy. we all lined up in about lines of about 15 or 20 along the beach. And there was a woman, like a kind of a leader at the top of each group. So she was kind of like, come on, girls, come on now, come on. There was fancy dress. There was women dressed as can-can dancers. There was women dressed as mermaids. There was women had written the names of people who died and passed on their backs with lipstick. There were women there who'd had mastectomies, single and double. And there was just a collective, I'm getting shivers. Whoa. I mean, it was a collective, like, feeling of strength and just like, we are here in this moment and there is nothing else but this. So they blew a whistle and Laura and I were wearing dry robes. We threw the dry robes onto the sand and the screams began, like screams of joy, as we en masse went running into the sea, shouting, screaming, laughing, hugging, crying. It was spectacular. The interesting thing about it was when people came off out of the sea, back onto the sand, nobody wanted to put their clothes back on.
Do you know what was so interesting? Like, I think when women come together and share their stories, it's like you can hear something that's life changing. One of the amazing women at our retreat was saying, and obviously I won't share too much about the people there, but she was saying that she hasn't looked up for years. And when we went to the forest, she looked up and I was like, yeah, we don't look up enough. You know, like when you're saying people on the tube, they don't chat, we're so used to seeing people just look at their phones or look at the ground.
So absolutely.
I was so inspired by that I went to my local forest this morning and looked up.
Wow.
Because I was like, yeah, I need to do this more. I need to just be and spend time in silence, just looking up. And actually a podcast that I'd heard during the week that I'm going to do and recommends, but this lady was like, Oprah, I am lost. And Oprah said, you need to change that. I am found.
Whoa.
So by looking up, by just looking up, that can be your first step.
I have been having aha moments still from my trip to Sardinia. And I had a chat with one of the girls who I used to work with. I'd recommended Gutsy Girls to her and she had been to Sardinia on the same trip. And we had a conversation just comparing notes. And she said something that was so poignant to me that I had to bring it today.
Okay.
She was like, you know what we need, Claire? We need to be more like nature. And I was like, Shivani, what do you mean? She was like, nature doesn't wait. She doesn't procrastinate or look for validation. She's unshakably herself. Her seasons change. She evolves. She trusts the process. Every sun sets, every moon rises, every star shines brightly in the sky. Mother Nature models how we should live.
Yes. Yes, Claire. And that is so weird that you've just said that, because that huge decision that I made 2 weeks ago that was crippling me and hanging over me and giving me panic attacks because I wasn't ready to do it. And it was too much for me and I knew that it was just going to make me sick. Jamie said to me, but Georgie, you have to stop changing your mind on things, right? You're agreeing to things and then when it comes around, you say, I can't do it. And I said, yeah, Jamie, because every day when I wake up, I'm different. I'm a different person every single time I open my eyes. So just because I made a decision 6 months ago, I'm not the same person I was 6 months ago.
Whoa.
So we have to live and flow. And I think that by doing things that make you feel warm, forget about what you told yourself 6 months ago. You have to stay true to you. And I think that, you know, that's what you say about telling yourself old stories, keeping yourself stuck. If there's something that you have agreed to in the past or something that you've always done, like just say you go somewhere for dinner every single Sunday and it makes you miserable. It makes your family miserable and it ruins your weekend. Why do you keep doing it?
Why do you keep doing it?
Just because you did it in the past doesn't mean that you have to do it now. Just what you were saying there is exactly what I've been thinking. And I've had so many conversations with Jamie about that. And maybe it's more of a kind of feminine thing that you're like, you know, because I think Jamie, like, he's very, you know, oh, no, I said I'm going to do it, so I'm going to do it. And, you know, this was the plan and that's the way he operates. But that is not the way I operate. And I felt so supported by him that he helped me get through that tough decision and make it easy. And he dealt with the fallout for me because I was, you know, struggling with it and felt guilt and worry. And he put himself out there and sorted it out for me. But I thought it was really interesting, you know, when I said to him, but Jamie, I'm not the same person I was 6 months ago.
That's massive. And how does he feel now about the decision?
Well, he sees how happy I am now, how creative I feel, you know, how I'm thinking about we could do this or we could do that. And the creative juices are flowing because I have space. And he's like, I'm really glad you made that decision.
Oh, my God.
It's like, I thought it might take you longer to say that, not just like 3 days. But it just goes to show that the thing you're terrified of saying out loud is never as bad as you think it's going to be. Once you say it, set yourself free.
Set yourself free. Because the biggest judgment in a situation like that is coming from yourself.
Mm.
You're projecting the judgment onto somebody else. But it's you holding yourself hostage.
But you know what else, Claire? I had said, I can't. I have to do this thing because I said I would. And it's going to cause so much disruption. Then I said it out loud, I don't want to do it. And everyone went, oh, Jesus, oh, God, what are we going to do? And it was sorted out. And I was willing to suffer 4 months and put myself through that to avoid disruption. And everyone got over it in 10 minutes. 10 minutes, Claire.
Oh, my God. That is such a good lesson.
Mm.
And you, if you're listening to this and this rings true, do an appraisal. Do an inventory check of your life and the decisions you make and the things you do for other people. Change it.
One of the incredible women at our retreat, we were having such a laugh talking about, you know, leaning towards what makes you feel warm and moving away from what makes you feel cold. She said, like, I'd be booking a 3 week holiday to get out of doing something. Someone invites me to something and I don't want to go, so I'd book a 3 week holiday so I didn't have to go instead of just saying no. I was like, that is so relatable,
isn't it? 1500 quid later, you're like, oh great, I'm off the hook, but I'm off to the Maldives. See ya.
Claire, can I tell you something? So, you know, the way I freed up a bit of time, like space in my brain to think about things other than work. So, like, I haven't done anything to my house since we moved in 2017. And every year when October comes around, I always want to change my bedroom because that's where I found the lump in my breast. So I'm always like, oh God, I need to just do it. Like, I need a new rug. I need all of these things, but like, I never have time to go to a shop and look for a new rug. So, you know, the days have turned into years. So, I was Googling around today about bedrooms and how they should be kind of organized. And I came across this feng shui article in Architectural Digest, right? So they said you should always anchor your bed with a headboard because a headboard represents stability. Do you have a headboard?
Sure do.
Good girl. Declutter your nightstand and your drawers because clutter disrupts your energy by blocking your flow. So clutter can hold you back and stop you from progressing. So they also said that introduce colors into your bedroom and patterns that promote restfulness. So neutrals and pale greens and blues are healing. Pale yellow is grounding. I feel like you're always in yellow, Claire.
I am. Look, I'm in the yellow again now.
Yeah, because you're a very grounded person. Purples are elegance and self-confidence, and pink and peach are softness. But one of the things that I thought Claire's gonna love this one. So don't stuff everything under your bed. If you have storage, you can have sleep-related items like blankets or pillows and store them under your bed. But you don't want anything emotionally charged under your bed like luggage or pictures or letters from your ex, because when you are in a yin state, you will absorb those energies. So you know the way we all have these boxes of like historical things and we never open that box. We've just filled it up kind of in our teens and 20s. So many people store those boxes under their bed.
Yes, you're right, they do.
What's under your bed?
So my bed has drawers, and I was just thinking, okay, I was going around the bed. So one is linen, bed linen.
That's good.
The other is winter clothing, so big jumpers and jeans. The other is summer shoes, flip-flops, et al.
Summer shoes.
Very Nana of me. And finally, guess what's in number four drawer?
What?
Mortgage and life admin stuff.
Oh, Claire.
Oh, no. No, and actually, I'm not sleeping that well at the moment.
There you go now.
I'll clear the drawer.
And where are all your letters from your exes?
Ah, Jesus. They're burnt. They're well gone. I've done ceremonies to burn them.
Oh, good.
What about you? What's under your bed?
Jamie has bags.
Right.
Luggage.
Luggage. Baggage.
Baggage.
Uh-oh.
A lot of books I had under my bed.
Not
books that I didn't want to read, Claire.
Oh, bingo.
That's terrible, isn't it?
They should
Why
go.
Would I hang on to like books that I don't want to read and put them under my bed?
Yeah.
And then I must admit that my bedside locker is very cluttered.
What's on it?
Oh, no. Not on it. Not on it. In it.
Okay, in it. Right.
On it is always clear because I couldn't sleep beside a load of shite. I just put it in a drawer.
This season, Soul Sisters Podcast is brought to you with Malfi Gin. Now, George, you and the Good Glow team need to sit back and relax this week and enjoy the fruits of your labour and probably a gin and tonic. What do you think?
Well, Claire, it was a very busy day yesterday. Very, very busy. We had a lot of stuff to unpack from the car. So yesterday was go, go, go. But we decided I'm going to leave it all in the hall. We're going to unwind and take a bit of time out. So we got the Malfi Gin out for a delicious G&T. We even turned on the fire pit for an hour and just gave ourselves a chance to take it all in, have a chat about our favourite moments from the weekend. And I have to say, sitting at that fire pit is my favourite time of the week. Always drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie. Well, I had this, well, you know the way I really like Gwyneth Paltrow?
It fascinates me. She is 50.
So what I liked about her birthday message is what she said about, I'd like to slow down. I'd like to make my circle smaller. I'd like to cook dinner more. I'd like to see misunderstandings become understandings. I would like to continue to open the deepest part of myself to my husband, even though it scares me. And I would like to sing more, even if it's just in the shower. And it got me thinking that when you have a big birthday, maybe you should write a little letter to yourself like that.
A manifesto. Yeah, I think you absolutely should. Yeah. And it, you know what? Why wait for a big birthday? I mean, I would personally, I would do it every single year.
Would you? Because I was going to say you could do it every year, but then I was like, is that a bit much?
No, it's like, forget, do you know what? Forget New Year's resolutions. Just set goals for yourself. Set like dreams for yourself.
What are your dreams for the next year?
So, well, the interesting thing for me is I love to dance, right? And I have, the universe has sent me to dance floors everywhere over the last few months. And I have been absolutely kicking up my heels and giving it. Woo! So I've been at a wedding dancing. I was in Sardinia, in the streets of Sardinia dancing. I was dancing by the lake the other day to that Groove Armada song.
It's on nonstop in our house.
When I saw the video of Jamie, which you put up on social media, fair play to you. Sorry, Jamie. I saw Jamie dancing and I started dancing again. Like, I dance in my kitchen. I dance all the time now. I have little dance breaks regularly and I feel the benefit of it. Like, I feel it in my soul, because you know what? My soul wants to dance. So just like Gwyneth wants to sing, I dance. And that's my promise to myself, that I will do that. So if I may be so bold as to do a split my recommend into. So 50% of my recommends this week is get naked. Take your clothes off. Spend more time in your birthday suit. You won't regret it.
I was getting ready for this podcast, right? Standing in the room without my top on, looking for a top in my wardrobe.
Yeah.
And I could just feel like there was someone walking past my house. So I hit the deck and I peeked up and I was like, please make that not be Scott. It was Jamie standing there, and he had like pretend binoculars up to his eyes. So yeah, I will take that and I will do that more, but I'm going to close the curtains.
Do you remember you said you wanted to go down to the beach and see sunrise? Mm-hmm. Well, I had felt such like joy and satisfaction from the strip and dip that the next morning on Sunday, I headed down to another beach, took my clothes off and ran into the sea again at sunrise.
Claire.
It was a spiritual experience. Honestly, you wouldn't believe what I left in that sea.
Claire, that's exactly what I said about people going back to the forest alone. You did that.
I did it. And I tell you, you want to see me. That dry robe hit the sand at breakneck speed and I was gone. Well, I was like, over the stones. And then I hit the sand and poof, into the waves. And the weather this weekend, by the way, in Ireland, I've never seen weather like it. This time of year it's a gift. The sun came up. I swear to God, it was. So listen, if you live near a body of water and you can find it in your soul, come on, you know you want to head down there and just go for a dip in the nip. Life changing.
So that's 50%.
That's 50%. And the other 50% is the Secret app. The Secret app is one I would like to recommend. I probably look at this a couple of times a year, but I've turned on my notifications and I'm going to look at it every, it gives you a daily message. And I read this message and I was like, I need this. The only reason why people do not have what they want is because they are thinking more about what they don't want than what they do want. So I'm bringing in the lack instead of bringing in the abundance. I'm sitting there thinking about a fella. Well, I don't want him to be this, and I don't want him to be this, and I don't want him to be this. Guess what? Still on his shelf, sis, this.
Wow, Claire.
Listen to your thoughts and listen to the words you are saying. Thank you, The Secret app.
And did you see that thing Kanye West put up yesterday? He said, convenience is our biggest addiction.
Wow, that is so true, Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
That is so true.
Yeah, I really had an aha moment when I heard that. And that's the like keeping yourself safe. And then obviously by thinking of what you don't want, you know, that's keeping you in fear, right?
Yes.
Interesting. Very interesting.
What's your recommends?
They're really good, Claire. I really enjoyed them this week. Mine is, I've never listened to a podcast ever before 5 times in 1 week, but I cannot stop listening to this podcast over and over and over again. Oprah Super Soul Conversations with Joel Osteen. He's a pastor. It's the second one down on her episode list at the moment. 30 minutes long. And the whole thing is about whatever follows I am comes looking for you. So that's the thing. I am lost. And Oprah's like, now I am found. Oprah said that she told herself for 15 years, I am fat. I am fat. I am fat every day.
Wow.
Now I tell myself every day, I am healthy. I am making the best choices for me.
Wow.
So one thing that really hit home, because I know we were talking last week and I got loads of messages about what we were saying about, you know, be unapologetically you, like don't let people kind of drag you down, or if friends have left you, you know, let them go and try not to take it personally. But he said something that really reinforced what we were talking about last week, Claire. And I know you were saying, you know, some people are there for a season, some people are there for life, and, you know, rejection is protection. He said, God moves the wrong people out of the way. And when he said that, I was like, yeah, that's what it is. God moves the wrong people out of the way. And although maybe you can't see it at the time, trust.
Exactly. Trust that people are being taken out of your life, out of your path, so that the way is clear for you to rise. Wow. I'm going to listen to that now. I'm going to listen to that straight after this.
So there we are now. What are you getting up to for the week, Claire?
So I'm back in King's Cross in Camden tomorrow for some more records for Dish.
Can you tell us who's coming in?
I sure can. On the guest list tomorrow, I have Martin Kemp. Martin Kemp has written a book about the 80s. So we're having breakfast with Martin Kemp. Then in the afternoon, we're having Ali Ash and Jeanette from Strictly.
Ooh.
Ali Ash has just left and Jeanette is still doing It Takes Two. And then we have a comedian, a Malaysian comedian called Nigel Ung, who's Uncle Roger on YouTube.
He's okay.
Gas. So that's what I'm doing tomorrow.
Martin Kemp.
Yeah.
Jesus, my mother loves him.
I'll take a sneaky pic for Shivy and send it to her on Instagram.
What am I doing this week?
I hope nothing, to be honest. I hope you're having a rest, are you?
I am having a rest. And I'm going to just, I'm really being called to kind of sort out the house, because I just want a really nice October where I feel really cozy, and I want to change a few bits. I want to kind of, like what you were saying, break the cycle. So I'm going to introduce some new things into my home to kind of change the energy or make it feel a bit different. So this is the week that I found my lump 5 years ago. It's always tough because it's always the start of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but also, you know, important. So the Great Pink Run is on Sunday. I'm going to do the Great Pink Run. The Great Pink Run is happening 5 years to the day I was told I had cancer. And I thought that my life was over.
That's an incredible synchronization.
Do you know what's interesting, Claire? I think over the last few weeks, the two of us are being called to like loads and loads and loads of women.
Yes. Yes.
I would really encourage anyone who's, you know, kind of cutting themselves off from the world to go out and be willing to find your tribe or join a class or join a walking club. I got an email actually from the park run during the week to say they've changed it to the park walk for a month to try and encourage walkers to come down to the what is known as the park run. So people maybe might feel like they can't join the park run because they're not a runner in inverted commas, but they're encouraging walkers to come down. It starts at 9:30 in most of your local parks. You can look it up online and go down and have a chat with someone, and you might make a new friend. Or if we don't change, nothing changes. So if you feel deep in your heart that you're being called to more women, or you're inspired by hearing myself and Claire's stories that we're getting all of this amazing energy off other women, I would really encourage you, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, put yourself out there, because you won't regret it.